The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. But Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you retain, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Let me offer a few background pieces of information about Pentecost. There is, in the Jewish tradition, one of the three great festivals, they call them pilgrim festivals of the Jews, and one of them is called Shavuot, which the Jews celebrated yesterday on the Shabbat, yesterday. The American Jews don't celebrate that because we're Reformed Jewry in the United States, but Orthodox Jews, they're very rigid in the great celebration of Shavuot. Shavuot means 50th, and we translated this into Greek, and we came up with Pentecost. Pentecoste in Greek means 50th. In its origin, it was, for the Jewish people, a harvest festival from the spring harvest. The first fruits would be offered to their God. Over time, it changed, and it became a remembrance of Moses receiving the law on Mount Sinai and the covenant of the people of Israel with their God. It's called, you'll see it in the New Testament, it's called the Feast of Weeks. 7 weeks, 7 days, 49, and the next day is Shavuot. 50 days after the Passover. Therefore, when you read that first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, there were many, many Jews in Jerusalem. There were Elamites, they were from Cappadocia, they were from Mesopotamia, they were from Rome, Judea. They were all in Rome because of the great festival of Shavuot. And that's the setting, the background on our Feast of Pentecost. And the disciples in the upper room, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. My manner of looking at homiletics is, I look at this a couple of weeks in advance, and then I walk through my days, and somehow the teaching of the Word of God falls into place. The teaching of the Word of God will always come to life if you're sensitive and you listen to it and you allow it to somehow become part of your journey. It deals with the Holy Spirit. The branch of theology dealing with the Holy Spirit is called pneumatology. Pneuma in Greek means breath, or it means wind. And it's difficult to grasp the Holy Spirit, because we have an image of the Father, God the Father, the provident Father, and that's easy for us to grasp. And we have the Son, Jesus Christ, become incarnate. That's easy to grasp. The Holy Spirit is kind of wandering around. Difficult to get a hold of the Holy Spirit. And we have very weak symbols like a dove. Well, the dove doesn't do much for you. You know, it's just a dove. But what we're looking for is the fruits of the Holy Spirit. How do we know that the Spirit is moving in us? You'll have to look at the theology of the fruits of the Spirit: justice, kindness, compassion, forgiveness, courage, transparency, honesty, fortitude, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Where you see these come alive, you say, the Spirit is dwelling in this place and in these people. Let's keep that in mind now. I tell you, if you go to the bookstore and you ask for something on Christology, which is on Jesus, they'll have lots of books. You ask for a book on the providence of God, God the Father, oh, books. But you ask for something on pneumatology, they're going to say, that's, you have to go to USC to get that or something. That's a medical term. Well, it's not, it's a theological term. But there's hardly anything in pastoral theology written about the Holy Spirit. So what we're challenged to do is to look for the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. So let me tell you what that meant to me, say, in the last 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, I celebrated 5 baccalaureate masses. One of them was at a university, Catholic university. And it's my practice that when I go into a venue, like at the university, and I'm addressing a whole new community that I do not know, I call somebody in advance who's in charge and I say, tell me a little bit about the community. I mean, who am I speaking to and what makes sense or what would be meaningful to this community? Otherwise, we talk up here somewhere. The community is not connected. Here's what I got collectively over the 5 masses I had. I got various little pieces of advice here and there, but put them all together, here's what I found. In this community, for the baccalaureate mass, you have a lot of non-Catholics. So they come for blessings. Well, that's fine. We do that at Holy Family. A lot of people come for blessings. Fine. There are a lot of Catholics who don't go to church and know nothing about the church. Their families don't go to church. They don't go to church. They don't know anything about the mass. Are you okay with that? Fine. It's not a problem. Then you have Catholics who are very devout, and their parents go to Mass, and the kids know all about the Mass, and the students like going to Mass. That's fine. Then we have some gay members of the class of 2019. This showed up almost everywhere. Is that fine? Yes, of course, it's fine. They're God's people, fine. And by the way, one place said, by the way, I just want to tell you that the lector you've got for the Mass is transgender. I said, that's fine. They're God's people. Okay. So, the invitation I got is a question from this diverse community saying, will you pray with us? And I'm remembering that first reading today where the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and they go out and they preach, and each one, different language, different place, they all hear the word in their language, which is a symbol that wherever you are in your life, you're old, you're young, whatever your condition in life, the word of God is spoken to you in the power of the Holy Spirit to meet you where you are. Not where I'd like you to be, not where I think you should be, but just where you are. The word of God is meant to touch you in your life exactly where you are. And so I'm beginning these masses and I'm saying, unless you can communicate, you can't influence. And to begin to approach diverse communities and say, you have to belong to my opinion and you have to belong to my theology. That's the statement of a master. It's not the statement of a servant. The statement of a servant is, speak to me, tell me how the Holy Spirit is moving in your life. Belong to a community of prayer. So when I went to these various masses, I didn't go to bring Christ. I went to find Christ in the community, in the diversity of the community. It's an extraordinary thing. These are your children. These are your brothers and your sisters. They're your grandchildren. They're real people. They're the church. That's the living church. It's a struggling church. It's a church with questions. It's a church that's searching. Sometimes it's a church in pain, the pain of judgment or the pain of alienation, the pain of separation. I've seen it up close. I've seen it in families where for some reason somebody is excluded from a family. That's great pain. I've seen it in the church where people are given the impression there isn't a place for them in a community. And yet the Holy Spirit in this reading says, I will empower you to preach the gospel in a manner that each person, the Elamites, Mesopotamians, whoever they are, whatever the condition in life, the word of God speaks to each person. It's an extraordinary, wonderful revelation of God's Spirit. It means we're a church that has questions. Never fear the question. Joseph Heller, in his book, Catch 22, I'm sure you all read it. I read it when I was young. He has Colonel Korn speaking to Lieutenant, whatever his name was, and he said, it's neither necessary or possible to educate a person who doesn't have questions. If you have no question, your mind is dead. If you have all the answers, then you're dead. We have to grow. We have to have imagination. That's the whole thing of the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit: compassion, understanding, kindness, hospitality, justice. These are all the signs of the Holy Spirit in a living church. The fundamental value that needs to be exercised is trust. Trust. By parents, you know, Joan Chittister in one of her books says, parents who don't listen to their children, teachers who don't learn from their students, and church leaders who are not informed by their followers are all destined to fail. I think this is true. I can trust you with my success. Can I trust you with my failure? Can I trust you with my disappointment? Can I trust you with my weakness? Can I trust you with my secret? Will you understand me? Will you bless me? Will you encourage me? Or will you separate, make judgments, say you don't qualify? The gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit: kindness, openness, courage, belonging. Wow. That's a living church. It's a growing church. It may not be the church in which I grew up. I mean, when I was young, I served Mass every day. And my family were at Mass all the time. And once the priest said something, if I said to my parents, well, I'm wondering about it. I can't wonder about it. The priest said it. That's true. Especially if he was a Monsignor, then it's really true, you know. But that's gone, my friends. That day is gone. We need to grow. We need to ask. We need to inquire. We need to search in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to exercise compassion, welcome, openness, the freedom of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. Each one hears the gospel preached in his or her own language. Keep that in mind. To celebrate Pentecost, there's somebody in your family that needs attention, needs healing, needs encouragement, needs the embrace of belonging. That somebody in your family needs to be celebrated. They're down. They need to be lifted up. The gifts of the Spirit empower us to be generous and not ask for something back. To bless people. Henry Nouwen, in one of his books, has got the choice we make in life, says Henry Nouwen. Do you want to live under a blessing, or do you want to live under a curse? And you choose. I want to live under a curse. I'm a victim. I'm insecure. I'm angry. You're living under a curse. Would you like to live under a blessing? The blessing of kindness, the blessing of freedom, the blessing of seeing God's presence in all people. That's what Pentecost is about. And listen to that first reading. Now, I read that a couple of weeks ago, and I wrote journals, and I carried it around with me. And I thought about that. When I was walking in the morning, early in the morning, I thought about, what does this mean to me? What does it mean at Holy Family? What does it mean in my life? What does it mean in my family? What does it mean when I celebrate the infinite love of God at the Mass? What does it mean? That's the question that's prompted for each of us when we read God's Word. Amen.